Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
The city life is welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. This is Brian Gendron, and I am here with my man, Jason Montanez. Jason, how are you today?
I'm great, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I just read a couple of really good books that I liked.
Good.
Yeah, LSC, As Easy as 1, 2, 3, 99 Things to Quit. Admittedly, I didn't finish that one, but I like the tone. I'll have it done by Friday, get you a book report.
No problem. Very easy reads, both of them.
They are, yeah. And they're a very easy man to talk to. Yeah, I think you're going to be a great guest. You're going to be a great guy. So let's do this. I always like to hear about your background. So my man's from New York City.
Yep.
Man played football. I don't want to spoil it, but just tell us a couple minutes about where you come from, Jason.
Yeah, no problem. So born in Brooklyn, New York, was raised in a suburb, Rockland County, Spring Valley, New York. Did my undergrad at the University of Buffalo.
Amherst.
SUNY Buffalo in Amherst, New York, where I played football, 3-year letterman up there, and started off my corporate career with Verizon Wireless. Had a 12-year career with them, and then went over to American Express, where I actually currently am leading the merchant organization here in Houston, Texas. So been around the nation, lived in Wilmington, North Carolina, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my last stop was in Houston. So I've been here in Houston for about 11 years now.
Well, we're glad you made it. Call Houston home?
Oh, I love it.
Good.
I love it. Second home like I'm James Harden. That's what I tell people.
That's good. So you've been all over the place and with a couple of Fortune 100 companies.
Definitely.
And I found that to be kind of the theme of your first book. And we were talking a little bit before we got started. And I like the book because it comes from a different voice. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get these books on leadership and they come from the top ivory tower, the CEO, the leader of the company, which can oftentimes be unrelatable. But yours comes from this position of middle management, where I have a manager, I have a boss, which I don't always agree with, which we've had some of that in your book, and you manage a team.
Right.
And so I think it's a great perspective. Do you want to talk a little bit about that book, that your first book that you wrote? When did you write that?
Yeah, no problem. So Lead, Sell, Care as Easy as 1, 2, 3. I call it the common denominator of a successful business as well as a successful life, right? So if you focus on leadership, sales, and customer care, what I've come to see is that you can have a very successful business, right? So a lot of companies, they pour a lot of money into marketing. They pour a lot of money into R&D, research and development. But the most important, in my experience, is that of a frontline leader and frontline employees, because they are the company to whoever they're interacting with, your customer base. So I really wanted the frontline employees to have a voice. I really wanted to cater to middle managers as well as the frontline employees to ensure that they are heard and be that conduit, so to speak, because there is a gap all the time from that C-suite down to the frontline employee. What I've noticed is that whenever a decision had to be made at the front line and it worked up the ladder up to the CEO's office, let's say something went wrong, right? So it's an escalation all the way up the ladder. The CEO would just say, go ahead and take care of it. Where at the front line, there are policies, procedures that are kind of hampering the decision-making process, when the CEO would just say, just go take care of the customer at the end of the day, right? So we could have avoided all this. The main thing is getting the frontline employee to think like the CEO, like a business owner.
Yeah, and you gave a lot of real specific examples, real relatable examples from your experience where you empowered people to be that CEO. And I'm drawing blanks. You wrote the book, so share
right.
share one of the ones that you really liked that where you were able to empower somebody and make them, I guess, take ownership and love their job where in the past maybe they hadn't.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there are countless examples of escalations that we had where I would put it back on my employees to say, okay, now if this was you, if you were in the customer's shoes, right? Because all the time, there are policies and procedures that are meant for the business and not meant for the customer. So if we put ourselves in those shoes of the customers and say, okay, does this make sense? Nah, this is kind of a dumb policy, right? Because all businesses have dumb policies, but what happens is you have to recognize that it's a dumb policy and say, okay, we have to treat each customer as an individual because there are certain circumstances that happen that you can make exceptions for. And there's always, whenever, you know, a company or a business tells me that an exception can't be made, no, there can be an exception. You just have to be willing to make that exception for the particular circumstances. Having a cookie-cutter mentality in business or a one-size-fits-all methodology in business is one way that you're going to lose customers and not you may have satisfied customers, but they won't be loyal to you and your brand.
You spend a lot of time talking about satisfied versus loyal. I agree with that philosophy.
Without a doubt.
And I think when you were talking, one of the examples I thought about, which is one a lot of people can relate with, was somebody that wouldn't adjust your cable bill, I think was one of the things.
Yeah, it was.
And you walked from those.
It was a satellite TV provider that will.
Oh, that's right, the boxing match.
will remain nameless.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But certainly they're nameless because you have no loyalty to them, right?
Without doubt, I left them a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well,
that's good. But that perspective is really appreciated, and it sounds like your management style really helped a lot of people along the way.
Definitely.
And this was a bit of a journal. I guess it was a lot of your experience out there in the field, mm-hmm. Working with Verizon at the time.
Yeah.
I think most of it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And what was kind of neat was I've been able to dive into your latest book. It just came out in January.
Yeah, it did.
And you were nice enough to get
January 1.
January 1, starting the year off strong.
Definitely.
Yeah, and what was really neat in having read those books, because Jason was nice enough to gift them to me, and I obliged and read most of them. Again, I'll finish it by Friday. I'm just a busy guy. But I really enjoyed Lead Cell Care 1-2-3, and so I was excited to dive into 99. One of the first things I noticed is you grew up as an author. In between the two books, I really felt like you grew up as an author, and you had a collection of stories in your first one that were relatable, absolutely, mm-hmm. and you did some writing it to the audience. This one is absolutely written to your audience with your audience in mind. Would you
definitely,
agree?
Definitely. And I think the main thing, this book is a self-help book. And I had an epiphany while I was consulting because while I do work for American Express at the corporate level, I do have a leadership consulting business where I consult on leadership, sales, and customer service, and I have an author, speaker, et cetera. But while consulting, I had an epiphany, and when I was in a coaching session, I was thinking to myself, there's nothing that I can say to do in this coaching session. This person will have to quit the thoughts and the behaviors in order to move on or get better in their life, right? So I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a book about quitting, and I'm going to change the narrative. I'm going to change the negative connotation associated with the word quit. Because all of our lives, especially you being an athlete, I was an athlete, we've been told not to quit. Quitters never win and winners never quit, right? We've been programmed this all our lives. And I'm differentiating the word quit from the word giving up. And the word quit has everything to do with the process, right? So the thoughts, the feelings, the behaviors, and sometimes the people that we're going to have to quit. So some synonyms for quit are cease, stop, etc., right? But the giving up is the progress. No matter what we do, that golden key in life is that persistence, the never giving up. Along the way, there's things that we're going to have to quit and cease and stop doing, right? That are counterintuitive, that are counterproductive to us, you know, our success in living our very best life. And that's where the whole concept came from. Because there are tons of books that tell us what to do. What people think that we should do that's going to make us, you know, successful. I said, you know what? I'm going to change that narrative. Let's talk about what we need to stop doing.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite questions. I do a little bit of consulting myself, and it's one of my favorite things is okay, what are you going to do differently? And then quickly. I like to do it real fast.
Right, right.
What are you going to stop doing? That's stop them in their tracks. That's a little harder to answer.
Definitely.
Isn't it? It takes a lot of self-reflection, and I think the book serves as a tool to guide you through that self-reflection and really take an honest look at things in your life that you need to go away for you to be your best self.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, if anything else, this is a self-reflection tool that's going to help people not only help themselves, but there are, you know, when reading this book, they're going to think of other people that maybe they can impart this information to and share this information to that they care about that's going to help them, right? Because at the end of the day, this book is really about self-love. And if you truly love yourself, you're going to stop doing and quit doing the things that have been holding you back or that have been hampering you from success and living the very best life that you possibly can.
Yeah, so it's something that you might be able to share, and it's not. It's sometimes when you gift a book, you just drop it on the table. It's just boom, this big thing. This is not that book, right? This is a 3-4 hour read. It's a workbook. You can go through it.
Yep.
It's got red, green, yellow. It keeps,
exactly.
Keeps you moving through it. One of my favorite things about the book, because it is sort of a working textbook in some ways for self help, is that it was really easy to. He goes, okay, you need to figure out which three things you're going to quit. And so I was like, oh, okay. I read all this stuff. I read most of it for comprehension. But you don't remember everything.
Of course.
It's easy to go back and reference what you read the way the book is formatted.
Yeah.
And so it's a really powerful tool in that way. In fact, as I'm going through this, yes, there's people I think I could absolutely gift this to and not feel like I'm giving them a chore. I'm giving them something that's really going to help them.
Exactly.
But I'm also interested in going back and rereading something like this in 2 years.
Yeah.
6 months.
Definitely. Because we're all a work in progress, right? Every day we have to kind of reinvent ourselves and recreate ourselves, right? And along the line, you know, as we continue to live, we're going to fail. So we're going to have to go back to the drawing board. That's just part of life. That's part of life. That's part of business. There are certain things that we're going to have to quit doing. And you know what? I said, with this particular book, I want to help change lives. And that's the reason why not only am I saying what to quit, I'm also giving that green, which is the do, right? So I have red, in my opinion, is what you need to quit immediately. Yellow is, you know, pump your brakes, just like a stoplight, pump your brakes. And then green is what my recommendations, the solutions. What I recommend that you do as opposed to doing whatever this thought, behavior, feeling, or behavior is.
It's just like a stoplight. And I'm giving you a stupid grin, Jason, but I'm thinking of my son. I know we both have kids. And we asked Thomas, my son, what does green mean? Go.
Right.
What does red mean? Stop. What does yellow mean? Ready?
Yeah.
Dance.
Dance.
That's what it tells us. Dance.
It's a universal language, right? So, you know, whether you go, whatever country you visit, there's going to be, you know, most of the time stop signs are red.
Right.
You know, green means go. It's a universal language. So that's the reason why I chose to use those colors in the book. And I really want to help people look deep within themselves to really find what it is, what they're passionate about, and then how are they going to get there. And the majority of the time, you're going to have to quit a whole bunch of things. If you really want to get to what your goals and your aspirations are in life, you're going to have to quit some things in order to get there. It's hard. It's so hard, you know. But I can guarantee it's worth it, though.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about where the quitters is going, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. Just for a moment, I want to contrast the two books and your journey as a writer, because I said I noticed a lot of improvement. And the first book, walk me through the process of writing. And this is for a lot of people that listen, and myself included. You know, I'm interested in potentially writing books at some point.
Yeah.
So walk me through the process of writing a book, and walk me through the difference between writing your first book and writing this book.
So the process. So my first book that I wrote, the Lead Sale Care as Easy as 1, 2, 3. That process was the reason why I wrote that book is because of a poor leadership experience. So when you have a poor experience, you have two options. You can either complain about it, right? Or you can channel that energy into something positive. So my decision was to channel that energy into something positive, and then I just started jotting down ideas. And I said, okay, if I'm here in this frontline leadership position, I guarantee you that there's somebody else in the same position feeling the same way that I can potentially help, right? So that's where everything came from, that book. And all I did was whenever I allocated 2 to 3 hours a week where I just shut off my phone, I locked myself in the room, I had no social media, no TV, and I just started jotting down my thoughts. And then by the time you know it, a year later, year and a half later, I have a whole bunch of content, and now I just have to piece all the content together. So that was the second phase. And after the second phase, went into the editing and the iterations. You know, I've been blessed. My mother is actually, she was the editor of both of my books, master's, just career educator, you know, a couple master's degrees, very, very smart in the English language. And so I've been blessed to have her as my editor for both books. But still after that, reading them over and over and over again, countless iterations. If you're not tired of your book by the time you're done, then you didn't do it right.
So that's the first one.
That's the first one.
And I'm curious, when you were writing it, because you mentioned year, year and a half, and then you mm-hmm. also mentioned social media. So did any of that content, did you leak that content out at all in any way over that period of time, or was this all close, locked in the vault?
It was locked in the vault.
Really?
Yeah, it was locked in the vault.
Did you do it that way now?
No.
Was 99 done that way?
So 99, it was locked in the vault until about November of last year. That's when I started throwing out the quits, and people were like, what is this guy talking about? Like, it still is something hard for people to grasp, and I knew that going into it, right? Because all your life you've been told not to quit. And who is this dude telling people to quit? It's crazy, right? It's asinine. But I started throwing it out like in November, December. I started going hard, with the content, with the cover, everything in December. Launched in January. It's now February, and then I'm gonna start doing weekly quits, some videos. That's one thing that I had to quit not doing, is videos, and starting to be comfortable with videos and doing videos and things like that. Because, you know, historically, I'm not a social media guy, right? So I'm not always on social media putting up pictures, and it's something that I have to be better with. So, but as far as the process with this book, I wrote down 99 things, and then this was a lot easier, I would say, because it's my second go-around. I wrote down 99 things. I formulated the whole stoplight methodology, red, yellow, green. And then one thing I did do with this book is I gave it to people to read, my trusted advisors. My first one, I didn't give it to my trusted advisors because it was kind of like my baby, right? And it was just me and my mother that had any privy to that book. This book, I gave it to 4 of my trusted advisors, and I gave it to them so I can get feedback. And they gave me valuable, valuable feedback.
We're afraid to get that feedback on the first one. I'm with you on that. Like, uh-huh. Big ideas, small business, this podcast, mm-hmm. I don't want to hear anybody's thoughts. I was afraid to put it out. Right? Yeah, I didn't know what people were going to say.
Definitely,
or think.
Yeah.
You got to go through that. That's growth. And uh-huh. then the podcast I'm doing now, Execs in Tech, which is a technology podcast, I'm just fishing for all the feedback I can get.
Exactly.
That's just us growing as people who are creating, as creators.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You need that. You need it. And what you have to understand, all feedback is valuable feedback, right? Good, bad, indifferent, it's all valuable feedback. You have to take it with a grain of salt. You have to keep on moving. And that's what the progress is all about, right? So when we say I've got 99 things to quit and giving up is one, giving it up is one of the quits that we have to quit giving up. Because oftentimes we're creating, it's not working how we think that it should work, so we quit, we just give up, right? But I'm sure you've seen that that picture where the gentleman, he's just digging and digging, and he stops, like he turns around, but the gold is right there. The gold is right there. All you need is just two more. Mm-hmm. You just got to swing that pitchfork or whatever, that shovel, two more times, and you're going to hit the gold, mm-hmm. right? Quit giving up. And that's just part of the process. That's part of being a creator. And you have to love it. You have to enjoy and love the process. And quit. One of the quits in here is quit thinking things are going to be easy.
Yep.
Right? Going into preparing yourself mentally and say, okay, this is going to be challenging. This is going to be hard. That prepares yourself for any obstacle that comes your way. And when tough stuff comes your life, you could just laugh. It's like, I prepared myself for this, right? I knew it was going to be hard.
Yeah, that was in the thoughts section, which is the first part, which I've actually read. I considered putting that down as one of my three.
Mm-hmm.
I know for sure that I put down thinking I could do it on my own.
You're right.
I do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of your leadership stuff was really helpful in the first book because delegation mm-hmm. has always been a struggle and a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get people motivated to do the work that I need them to do to help me with, creating alignment and ownership and things. I think you did a nice job illustrating in your first book.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of what other thoughts that I had, but it's a powerful exercise to be able to go through that and mm-hmm. and apply all the 99 quits that you wrote down and try to figure out where it applies to my life and which ones I'm going to take.
Let me say one thing though, Brian. I don't want anybody to think that they're going to have 99 things to quit.
Yeah.
Right? It's not possible. If you have 99 things to quit, then you know we need to direct you in a different way, right? But what I can say is that even if you come out of this book after reading this book, and when people are on the brink, it could be as easy as one thing that you need to quit. Right? Quit the self-doubt. If somebody, the only thing that's holding them back is self-doubt or quit the fear, once they quit the self-doubt or they quit the fear, then that'll unlock everything, you know? And they quit caring about what other people think of them or what other people say. Once they quit that's all people need sometimes. And that will just unlock their God-given potential. So I know I put 99 things, but it could be just one that you need to quit.
That was a big step for me, was absolutely just shedding what people think and care, which is step one. It doesn't, like, the way you say, you almost sell it like, hey, you do that and you're going to reach your wildest dreams tomorrow. It ain't tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
Because let me, another book to put on top of this is patience.
That's right.
That's the next one, right? You can quit.
That's one of the quits.
Yeah.
Quit thinking it's going to happen overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge part of it.
Yep.
And so I think it's a good thing to think through and it's a good guide. And how did you come up with 99? Was that hard to do 99? Or you sounded like you just went ahead and wrote them all down, locked yourself in a room.
It was challenging because some of them were repetitive, just different word.
Right.
You know. But what's funny is after I go through these 99 things, after I've written the book, I can still think of more. Right. So they're even more.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
How many
can you get to?
I stopped probably at like 103 and then I consolidated, but I could have kept on going.
Well, one a week, it's 52 this year.
You
started in January.
Yeah, I mean, I have 2 years worth of content in this book, you know, if you really think about it. And there are more than 99 things to quit. But I just think this book is really going to help people out and take them to the take their lives to the next level. And that was the purpose. I've already received emails and text messages and, you know, Facebook and Instagram, just people telling me this has already helped me, you know, and I'm having a great year because of it. So that's at the end of the day, that's what I set out to do.
It sounds, with both books. You said
with both,
you said
definitely.
I want to help people effectively.
Right.
So
it's about serving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Servant leadership is mm-hmm. part of both. So this is exciting that you're out here, you're helping people. I want to hear a little bit about what you're doing besides the quit a week and doing mm-hmm. more video. Mm-hmm. What else is in store for the quitters? What are you going to bring to market, do you think?
Well, I'm going the Quitters Revolution podcast is going to be coming to airwaves very soon, probably end of March, early April. I'm just finalizing that, getting all my guests lined up. And it's basically what the premise behind that is, it's a change in the way we're thinking. We're about quitting, right? It's kind of like we're revolting against this idea that quitting is for losers, that quitting is a bad thing. Quitting is a great thing. It's an absolutely awesome, great thing when you're quitting the thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and sometimes people that have been holding you back. So that's the next big thing that's coming down the pipeline.
See a podcast coming out. That's exciting.
Yep.
Obviously appreciate
I gotta join my fellow my podcasters out here.
Be careful. I'm collecting them now. I got two of them, so that's good. Well, that's exciting. And
definitely
you know, when you're saying that, you're shedding weight that you're carrying around with you. Mm-hmm. You got things on your shoulders that you're getting rid of, and there's power in that.
Definitely.
Most people understand that and appreciate that. Yep. You gonna write any more books, you think?
Probably. I said this one, this was going to be my last for a while. But as a creator and as an author, I already have an itch. Like I released this one and then I already had a thought of another one. But I'm gonna ride this one out probably for another, you know, 2 or 3 years. And then we'll come back. I'll come back with it. I'll probably come back with another one.
Well, I'm working on something that's interesting. I want to get your opinion on. As opposed to writing this book, and we talked a little bit about, all right, first one's in the vault. Second one, you kind of release it out to some trusted advisors and people that you're close with. I'm doing one where I'm creating content over time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take Instagram and doing these hustle facts. And if you think about it, I'm doing one every other day. In 2 years, I've got a calendar. I don't know if I'm going to release it or not. Everybody will ever buy it. But that is all just collected content.
Definitely.
That I could have somebody much better at writing than I am just say, hey, just dump it on their desk one day. And it's all in the notes on my phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, this idea that you have to dig in and write a book, I don't necessarily know that you have to be that intentional about it.
No, you don't.
I mean, eventually you want to pull it together, have it mean something. It can't just be a collection of nonsense. Mm-hmm. Over time, but that's something I'm working on. Just want to see your thoughts on creating something like that.
Yeah, I think that's great with the calendar and the content. There are various ways that you can use that content. You can use that content through video. You can use that content through a calendar, or even nowadays. In a consulting practice, right, an online consulting practice, you can use that as well. I think that in writing these two books, the word that really stands out for me is legacy, right? So I'm leaving a legacy behind. I have 4 children, and when they're old enough, they'll be able to read both books and see exactly who Jason B. Montanez is or was, right? So I think that's, along with serving, it's leaving a legacy. Because once these words are written, it lives forever.
You're forever history of the world.
Forever.
You have an ISBN?
Yep.
Forever.
Yep, 2 of them.
I agree with that. I do. And you and I think the same way. I mean, it's about legacy. We have children, posterity. Mm-hmm. How are they going to remember your dad when he's old and, you know, he's talking nonsense, or I used to have thoughts.
Exactly.
I used to have intelligent thoughts.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But, you know,
but so. I think it's great. I really do enjoy your writing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There's a really relatable side to it. It's the stories. Sometimes you had quotes in there where I was finishing the quotes before I read them, or I was reading it and I'm like, this kind of sounds like Serenity Prayer. And like I would get into
you
those.
Got it.
I get into those moments, yeah. Right? And it happened time and time again.
Yeah.
And so you have a good writing style that's really down to earth, relatable. Even know how to use for a football player. Even know how to use some big words.
Yeah, right. I'm not a dumb jock, you know.
but here's the neat thing. I admire that you go through this management thing and you think about it at another level. Yeah. And it's not just about in the moment. It's about, well, what does that mean? And how can I use this to help other people in their management journey, mm-hmm. and teach these lessons. And I can tell that's how your mind works. And if you continue to do that, you're going to continue to push out good content, and you're going to continue to gain followers. And so, really admire what you're doing. I'm excited to hear the podcast. And
you'll definitely be one of my first guests, Brian.
Yeah, look at that.
Definitely.
And I'll be working the book, so I'm through the, like I said, I'm through the thoughts, and I'm excited to get into the after thoughts, it gets into
feelings and then behaviors.
Feelings is a tough one for me, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the thoughts. I'm like, I got this. Yeah. Feelings, I'm like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. This might be a little harder.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to dive into that. Yeah. One of the things I like about it too is there's an accountability piece. So
right.
You say, I'm going to do it by this date. I think you even make it. Sign a contract in the beginning of the book.
So. Without a doubt. Because it's a commitment. It really is a commitment. You have to, it's a commitment to be brutally honest with yourself. The hardest thing that any of us can do is look in the mirror and be humble and surrender and say, I'm wrong and I need to change. That's the hardest thing, because oftentimes, we're accustomed to things that we've been doing for so long, so it's so easy to just stay the same. So when we make a commitment, say, okay, I'm going to change for the better. I'm going to quit all the things that have been holding me back, the negative things that are counterproductive, counterintuitive to me being realizing my greatest potential. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, that is hard, and it takes a lot of commitment, you know? And on my website, 99thingstoquit.com, once you put your email address in there, you get a free copy of my quitter's cheat sheet, which are the 9 things that one must do in order to prepare themselves for a life of quitting, right? So definitely go there to get that, because there's a lot of prep work before you even start quitting, you know?
Sure. It's a hard thing, like you mentioned. You gotta be mentally ready, and you gotta be ready to do it.
Definitely,
I could easily see this book, because I think I started to do it. I'm like, nah, this isn't for me. On the thoughts, and I think you're gonna get me in the feelings. But
yeah,
I've already done all this, Jason. But I still took the time to go through, and I went back through. I'm like, no, you know what? Actually, this is an area I can work on.
Yeah.
And everybody's got those.
But I could tell you what, Brian, this writing this book was like therapeutic for me, right? Mm-hmm. So I became a better husband. I became a better father. I became a better friend. I just became better with in my consulting. Everything became better, right? Yeah. Because I shed the dead weight. I shed this, you know, dead skin, and so to speak. And I guess you become freer, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Totally. That's great. So you mentioned your website.
Yes.
Just one more time so people know how to get you.
99thingstoquit.com.
Good. And where else can people find you?
You can follow me on Facebook at Jason B, as in boy, Montanez, and then via Instagram and Twitter at Jason B Montanez.
Very good. And do you have the name for the podcast yet? It's Quitters?
Quitters Revolution.
Quitters Revolution. So Quitters Revolution's coming out in April, March, somewhere in there.
Yeah, end of March, early April.
Very good. Well, Jason, it's been my pleasure having you on this podcast, Big Ideas Small Business. You kicked off season 3.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. So we had to
kicked it off with a bang.
We had to start somewhere. I think we started in a great place. So we're on to some big things this year, Big Ideas Small Business. You're now in the Big Ideas Small Business family. Call you all Big Idealists.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you're a big idealist now.
Perfect.
And we hope to collaborate with you again soon.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And everybody out there, be the very best quitters that you possibly can be.
That's right. Go out and quit something today.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. You guys have a good one. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
I go out there and close some business.
Central Texas rain's the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.